So I think what's so important about what you just saw is if it's not videoed, we don't have that long pause before the witness answers. That just shows her lack. Well, it shows how careful she's trying to be, as if she's hiding something. And if you didn't have it videoed, you wouldn't get that long pause. Secondly, by writing out the question, it's so powerfully to have that visually. And third, he puts a signature line for her. And then fourth thing, you know, if she says, well, I don't agree, he's very fair. And he says, well, we'll put typically true. And he writes her exact words. We'll learn later in this lecture about the three-camera deposition. But right there, he's got two cameras. And we can do this tomorrow with very little cost. I'll show you how to do that later. But he's got a document projector, which is showing the documents he's showing the witness. And then obviously he has a camera on the witness. So that's kind of a two-camera deposition. A lot of us aren't even taking video depositions, but those that are only taking a one-camera deposition, it's better to take two because that's so much more visually powerful and persuasive to have the exhibits right there as opposed to not knowing what you're showing the witness. All right, we come to our second topic of the lunchtime discussion here, and that's cross. I created this acronym, and this acronym can be used to cross-examine any witness at a deposition. C stands for attack their credibility. Every witness has a bias. Quentin, in his lecture this afternoon on experts, is going to go more into this. But let's see if there are areas of their credibility we can't attack. Or R, restrict the damaging information. There may be a supervisor in employment discrimination who says, you know what, he's the worst employee I've ever had. Well, you can restrict that damaging information by simply proving that he supervised your client, the employee, for a limited period of time, and other supervisors at other times have given your client very good reviews. So you can restrict the damaging information. O stands for outrageous comments. A lot of times in a deposition, all you're trying to do is get that statement that does not have the ring of truth, the outrageous statement. No one's going to be confessed that they're guilty, they've done something wrong, that they created damaging hip implants, but you want to get that outrageous statement. The first S of cross is that you can impeach them on prior inconsistent statements, whether it's an email, oral statements, or another deposition. And then finally, a lot of people forget, but you can use that deposition to get facts which support your case. Really turn that witness into one of your own witnesses by asking them questions that they must agree to. At your next deposition, think of this acronym CROSS, and I guarantee you, you can use three of the letters, at least one, maybe all five, and you will have an effective deposition if you follow this acronym. I'm trying to see how much time we have. I think I'm going to play one of these clips and then I'll come back to them if we have more time. So whenever I think of a outrageous statement, I always think of Bill Clinton when he talks about this one. I'm not going to give it to you, but listen to it. This is when the prosecutor in the criminal investigation was asking him questions about Monica Lewinsky. And it all came from a deposition where Paula Jones brought a civil lawsuit for sexual harassment when President Clinton was governor of Arkansas. And in that deposition, he was asked the question, have you ever had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky? His attorney there objected, saying, you can't ask that because you have an affidavit from Monica Lewinsky that says that there is no sexual relations. Well, Bill Clinton is getting a little too cute with all of this, but it was very clear later that he had had multiple encounters with Monica Lewinsky at the White House. So listen to this outrageous statement, and I think that'll prove my point that he's never going to admit that he did something wrong, as any witness would not admit. But just getting that outrageous statement is all you need. All right. Here's what it is. Oh, the caption just gave away the statement, but you'll hear it in just a minute.
President, I want to, before I go into a new subject area, briefly go over something you were talking about with Mr. Bittman. The statement of your attorney, Mr. Bennett, at Paul Jones' deposition. Counsel is fully aware, page 54, line 5. Counsel is fully aware that Ms. Lewinsky has filed, has an affidavit which they are in possession of, saying that there is absolutely no sex of any kind, in any manner, shape, or form with President Clinton. That statement is made by your attorney in front of Judge Susan McBride.
That's correct.
That statement is a completely false statement. Whether or not Mr. Bennett knew of your relationship with Ms. Lewinsky, the statement that there was no sex of any kind, in any manner, shape, or form with President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
If is means is and never has been, that is not. That's one thing. If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. But as I have testified, I'd like to testify again. It is somewhat unusual for a client to be ask about his lawyer's statements instead of the other way around. I was not paying a great deal of attention to this exchange. I was focusing on my own testimony, me. And if you...
You're the President of the United States, and your attorney tells the United States District Court Judge that there's no sex of any kind.